They are not of the world, as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. I sanctify myself for them, so they also may be sanctified by the truth. Jesus prayed that we might be unified in his truth, standing firm in the faith and strong in his word. In a world questioning the credibility of God's word, Christ's prayer is for his church to stand firm in unity and his word. This is The Answers Conversation, and I'm your host, Steve Hamm. We'll be answering the skeptical questions of our time, standing firm on the authority of God's word, and rejoicing in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, again with us this week, we have our astronomer at Answers in Genesis, Dr. Danny Faulkner, has a PhD in astronomy and is part of our research team. And this week, and for the next couple of weeks, we are actually going to be discussing one of the main proponents of old Earth type theories that is around in the Christian church today. And his name is Dr. Hugh Ross. He has come out with many materials, and many people are confused about what to believe in Genesis as a result of some of the ideas put forward by Dr. Ross. And Dr. Danny Faulkner, also in the area of astronomy, Dr. Hugh Ross is an astrophysicist. And so he has read many of Dr. Ross's materials and can tell us quite a lot about that. And so I just wanted to interview him, and particularly about Dr. Ross's new book that we'll get to next week, Navigating Genesis. But before we get to that, Dr. Faulkner, tell us a little bit about what you know about Hugh Ross and some of his positions.
Okay, thank you. Well, at the outset, let me say that Hugh Ross and I have a good relationship. I consider him a friend.
Mm-hmm.
So just because I disagree with him on a number of issues doesn't mean that I find him disagreeable.
Right.
And I want to make that very clear to our listeners that that we do talk to one another in a very civil tone, and it's not personal in the least.
Actually, I've met him as well, mm-hmm. and found him to be, you know, a lovely man when I talk to him.
Sure, yeah, absolutely.
But he can be sincere and lovely and can still be wrong.
Yeah, right? That's right. And I want to make sure people know that it's not personal at all in my case. And I find him not to have any personal animosity towards me either.
Mm-hmm.
But Hugh Ross got his PhD from the University of Toronto. It's been 40 years. He's a little older than I am. And more than 25 years ago, I think sometime in the 80s, he founded a ministry called Reasons to Believe, based in Southern California. And he wants to give reasons through science to people that we have a reasonable faith. And I think to a point, you know, you and I at Answers in Genesis, we can agree with that approach too.
Sure, yeah.
However, he believes in the Big Bang theory.
Mm-hmm.
He believes that was God's method of creation. He thinks he sees that in Scripture. He believes in billions of years for the Earth. He thinks that the Earth gradually developed under God's guidance over that time period. And he accepts much of what modern science or scientists have to say about the origin of the world and origin of things around us. However, he does reject the concept of biological evolution.
Right.
He says that God progressively created over many millions of years, different types of creatures. God came to the earth, created certain creatures, then withdrew, came back later, created more, and there was a struggle for survival and death and extinction in between each one of those episodes.
And this is how he explains the geological timescale,
yeah.
We see in it, mm-hmm. yes.
And you see then the rock layers, mm-hmm. there is a type of progression generally of certain types of organisms, like marine organisms to quote-unquote more advanced organisms and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, 50 to 60,000 years ago, God created man in his image, and man did not evolve from apes, but God created a man specially. And Adam and Eve lived back then. He believes in a literal Adam and Eve. He believes in a literal fall in the garden, because there was a Garden of Eden. There was a fruit, mm-hmm. and two trees there. You know, all the things we believe, the time scale would be different,
right.
On all of this.
He does believe in hominids prior to Adam and Eve, though, doesn't he?
Yeah, he believes in and this is a little odd. He believes that there were these kind of hominid creatures that God created that resembled ape less and man more, and there's a series of these different types that God created, and then finally God created man, and I'm puzzled by that approach. It's an attempt to explain the claims made by anthropologists and alleged human evolution, all the while denying that evolution is taken place. And I think that's just a little odd, a little strange approach. I don't understand how you get that from Scripture.
Right.
I don't think it really satisfies the evolutionist either. Mm. He then advocates day-age. He's probably one of the leading advocates of the day-age theory today, that the 6 days of creation were long periods of time.
Right.
And he's also a leading advocate today of progressive creation, this description of that God created progressively over millions of years, not that things evolve from one creature to another. We generally call people who believe in the Bible, claim to believe the Bible, and believe that evolution was God's method of creation, we call them theistic evolutionists.
Yes.
And Hugh Ross is not a theistic evolutionist. He is a progressive creationist.
Yep.
However, we do use the term evolution in three broad areas. Many people seem to think that evolution just refers to biology, but actually there's much, much more there.
It's interesting because, you know, often when we speak and somebody will talk to us and say, hang on, evolution is just the progression of life where one animal kind obtains new information and functionality to become a whole other kind or family of creature and so forth in this progression over millions of years until ape-like creatures and then human beings. And that's how they describe evolution. But evolution is more than that.
Oh, much more. We generally can recognize three broad categories of evolution. There's cosmic evolution, dealing with the cosmos, the universe and stars and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's geological evolution, the development of the planet Earth over time. And then there's biological evolution. And many people, many of our critics, don't really understand that broad definition of evolution. I've talked about stellar evolution sometimes, and people have emailed me and said, what, do stars have alleles? Do they have DNA? Of course not. You know, this is silly. That's not evolution. And then I have to just give them a couple of titles of some books I used in graduate classes with the term stellar evolution in the titles of the books.
And it had nothing to do with biological evolution.
Absolutely not. And the term evolution was used throughout these textbooks talking about how stars are born, how they go through processes, how they die. You could talk about the Big Bang being and how the universe develops being a type of evolution as well. I think people in the field use the term evolution all the time, and they don't feel a little, even the least bit problematic about using that term because they understand that that's what they're trying to do, explain the existence of things around us, the world around us, in terms of that. So as near as I can tell, Hugh Ross accepts cosmological evolution, much as taught by anybody out there.
Yep.
He accepts geological evolution. He does reject biological evolution. So to say that he's not a theistic evolutionist, but that only refers to biology.
Yep.
When it comes to geology and cosmic evolution, he believes in much of the evolutionary theories that are out there, and he accepts that God was behind it. So he's a two-thirds
evolutionist,
theistic evolutionist in that sense.
Theistic, stellar, and geological evolutionist.
Yes, but
right.
Not a theistic biological evolutionist.
Mm.
And I think we need to make that distinction clear. And you know, sometimes our own fellow creationist will criticize Hugh Ross by saying, well, he's a theistic evolutionist, and Hugh Ross will deny that and say, no, I'm not. Well, when it comes to biology, he's not, but when it comes to geological and cosmic, he definitely is.
It's a really important point that we should understand, because so often people restrict this definition of evolution, and really the definition of evolution is simply change, right?
Yes.
In one sense. But the modern understanding of evolution is change and random processes of whatever's happening over time.
Yeah. The term evolution actually literally means to turn out is what it means. The
mm-hmm.
evolve, that means to turn out.
Mm.
But it's come to mean change and development. And you can have sometimes we use the term devolution to refer to things not getting better but things actually falling apart. But generally in science we use evolution. I do eclipsing binary star research, and sometimes we talk about the evolution of these systems, and what we mean is that how are they changing over time? What's going on?
Right.
We're not saying they're getting better. We're not saying they're developing upward like you would with
mm-hmm.
life. They're simply changing. So evolution is a bit of a loaded term, It's a bit of a slippery term, and you got to be very careful to define exactly what you're talking about. And too many people, creationists, evolutionists, all in between, want to just reference it to biological evolution, molecules to man sort of thing, and that's a very restrictive use of the term.
I found it very important, and I think it's good for our listeners to hear this as well, that in any of these things, when we're talking about science or evolution, those sorts of issues, we really do need to define terms with the people we're speaking to.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because you can be using a term one way and somebody using it a completely different way, and you're talking past one another then.
Well, that's what was happening in the Bill Nye debate with Ken. You know, he's talking about science, and Ken is saying, hey, define science. There's historical science, there's observational science, and which one are you really talking about here?
Yeah.
Mm. And it's important to do that, and that way you can start talking about the real issues of history or issues of observation.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So tell me a little bit about... Is Hugh Ross's cosmology, is it the general Big Bang cosmology that you would see out in the world?
Yes, and he doesn't modify it really at all. He sees it as God's method of creation, and he would argue, and other people who take what I call the Big Bang apologetic would argue that the beginning of the universe then requires that there be a beginner, there be a creator. And so he used it as an evangelism tool or an apologetic tool to argue that the Big Bang proves that there must be a creator. Mm. Now, there are many other people out there who beg to differ. One would be Lawrence Krauss, who's very famously, he's an atheist who's been very antagonistic towards any ideas of creation. He wrote a book a couple of years ago called The Universe from Nothing. And there he puts forth arguments how he thinks that the world, basically the universe, popped into existence on its own. Mm. That's a controversial idea, but it's picking up more and more adherents out there. Mm. And that would be one part of the Big Bang that Hugh Ross would reject. He would insist that Krauss is completely wrong. I would agree that Krauss is wrong, by the way.
Yes, of course you would.
Now, what we do with that would be a little different, but I think some of the criticisms that Hugh Ross has had of Lawrence Krauss are absolutely correct. I would agree with those. Mm-hmm. Again, I don't always disagree with Hugh on things.
And then there are some people that believe that the universe was birthed by another universe.
Yeah, that's a different idea, and this where it gets really fuzzy, because this is not science anymore. I mean, there's very little science in Krauss's book. It's a bunch of philosophy that you have there, but people suggest that there's an eternity of universes, and that due to what's called quantum fluctuations, new universes pop into existence all the time. And so our universe become from a quantum fluctuation of the universe, and our universe in turn continually gives rise to new universes all the time. There's no science in that at all. It's theology or it's philosophy, not particularly good of either one of those, by the way. Mm. And this is getting us back to an eternal universe, which I thought was what the whole point of the Big Bang was, to get away from that, to have a universe that had a beginning. Now, again, Hugh Ross would again reject all these silly ideas, but there are many ideas being floated out there by very serious people, cosmologists, people who publish in scientific journals on the Big Bang, who are offering these supposed ways out of there being a creator.
Yeah. Now, if one of our listeners comes across somebody talking the Hugh Ross language, or giving them a Hugh Ross book, what would your advice be?
Well, I'd say to check out some analysis elsewhere. We do have a number of things on our website at answersingenesis.org. You can Google his name, cosmology, Big Bang, whatever. We have a number of articles that I've written, other people have written, you know, why the Big Bang is not really biblical and what's wrong with the analysis that leads to that belief.
Yeah. And we've also got, I believe, a debate, the great debate that he had, I believe, with Ken Ham and Dr. Jason Lyle, I think, were a part of that debate, and it was he and Walt Kaiser as well.
Yes.
And that really is worth watching and getting as a DVD. Dr. Terry Mortensen did some commentary on that, so that you can also hear how some of the views are being put forward, and that's been a very, very helpful set of DVDs that I've seen as well. Okay. Well, thank you very much for being with us and talking to us again about these really important matters. We're going to talk next week about his new book, Navigating Genesis, and go through some of the issues that he talks about in relation to the flood, and also his thoughts about Eden, which I believe, Danny, you know, extraordinary.
Yes.
Okay. Well, thanks again for being with us, and we'll talk about this again next week.
If you want answers on this or any other subject, visit answersingenesis.org. That's answersingenesis.org.